nightly to our favorite show, Radio. Oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again, Radio. I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, thank you, Dave, and again, welcome to Yesteryear, the best of the golden age of radio. Coming up on today's program, it's Boston Blackie with The Death Wish. But first, we'll enjoy a bit of comedy together with Charlie McCarthy. The Charlie McCarthy Show was the first major variety hour to use ventriloquism on the air. The story goes that one day in school, Bergen sketched the face that would launch 1,000 radio shows. He patterned Charlie's features after a kid who sold newspapers in the neighborhood. Later, he paid $35 to a carpenter named Theodore Mack and had the face carved in pine. Edgar Bergen and his dummy Charlie McCarthy were first heard on radio on Rudy Valley's Royal Gelatin Hour in December of 1936. Charlie was sensational. In fact, they were so popular with Valley's huge audience that they were brought back again and again. Chase and Sanborn finally decided to cash in on the act's sudden fame by bankrolling Bergen in his own show beginning May of 1937. Here now, from December of 1944, is the Charlie McCarthy Show with special guest star Don Ameche. Next, on this edition of Yesteryear.
Major Bose, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marr, Jameis, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again, Radio. I miss you, Sodio, Vodio, Dodio, Do, Radio. I miss you so.
Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. Ray Noble and his orchestra, Joe Merrill, Professor Irwin Corey, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and Charlie's special guest, Mr. Don Ameche.
Well, Charlie, look who's here, our old friend Don Ameche.
Hello, Charlie. Welcome back from New York.
Oh, thank you. Gee, I'm glad to see you.
Well, I'm glad to see you, too.
Yeah, glad to see you, too.
Yes, so am I. Glad to see you.
Yeah, well, now that the preliminary lying is over, let's buckle down to a real good fight, huh?
Do you know, Don, we had Jim Ameche with us in New York.
Yeah. Say, there is a nice fella, Don.
Yeah, isn't he a nice fella?
That Jim is a fine fella.
I think so, too.
How could a character like you have such a nice son?
What do you mean, son?
Yeah?
He's my brother.
You don't say.
Well, I do say.
No. Well, he seems so much... never mind. So you're actually brothers.
Well, certainly we're brothers. Distant brothers.
Oh, distant
brothers. He's in New York and I'm out here.
I guess, yes. Son never sets on an Ichi.
Say, you know, this is just like old home week. Yeah. Same old gang.
Same old gang, Don.
Yeah.
Well, Edgar, I haven't met Mr. Ameche.
Oh, of course not. Don, this is Joan Merrill.
How do you do?
Oh, Mr. Ameche. Really, Don Ameche.
Oh, Miss Merrill, I think you have just a simply lovely voice.
Oh, thank you, Don. And I think you're just wonderful in pictures.
Well, thank you very much, very much.
All right, thank you, Don. Thank you. Miss Merrill will now swoon. Is you is or is you ate, my baby?
I love you.
tone. Isn't it wonderful?
Charlie, what have you got there?
Oh, there, Mr. Bergen. This is a bottle. Oh,
I see.
It's a very rare bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Handed down from one shelf to the other.
Well, I must say, it's the most unusual specimen of glass blowing I've ever seen.
Thank you.
Where did you get it?
Well, if you must know, I bought a glass blowing set in New York.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Then you blew that glass bottle yourself?
Uh-huh. Well, yes, sir, I cannot tell a lie.
No.
I did it with me Bunsen burner.
Yes.
I blew two bottles, a finger bowl, and then I blew a gasket.
I see.
And I quit.
Well, tell me, Charlie. Now, of course, I don't want you to reveal any of your secrets, but how did you get all those little bumps, that hobnailed effect, all over the bottle there?
Well, I'll tell you how I did it, Bergen.
Yes.
You see, when I was blowing it,
mm-hmm.
I got the hiccups.
Oh, I see.
Yes. Now, if you'll excuse me a moment while I talk to Mr. Noble.
Charlie, you're not thinking of selling this piece of glass to Ray, are you?
Well, certainly. He's the collector.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And I'll tell him it's an antique. That'll bring a price up.
Well, Charlie, no, you must not misrepresent.
No. Well, I can say it's the only piece of its kind.
Yes, you can say that. That would be true.
I'll say that.
Yes.
If I don't misrepresent you, you won't clear the deal, will you, baby?
No, I won't clear the deal.
No.
As long as you tell the truth.
Well, it's a handicap, but I'll take a crack at it.
Yes. But if you start misrepresenting... Yes.
What then?
Well, then I'm going to give you a signal.
Yeah?
Yes.
Signal.
Yes. I'll say dinky die.
Dinky die?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, that means stick to the truth.
Dinky die, stick to the truth.
Yes.
Dinky die.
Yes.
Okie dokie.
Yes, all right.
Oh, Mr. Noble! I'm afraid that dinky die is going to be restraint to trade.
Oh, no. Hello, Charlie. What can I do for you?
Well, I have a bottle here, Mr. Noble, and if you know glass, I won't have to say any more. I'll be cooked.
Well, let me have a look at that, Charlie. Oh, mm-hmm. Tell me, is it an antique?
Oh, brother, they don't make them any antiquer than this.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. Well, what period is it?
Oh, this goes way back.
Dinky die.
It's the period of about...
Yes?
Oh, it's the period of...
Dinky die
period. No.
Now, look here, Edgar. That's all very well. All the boy's trying to do is to tell me about this glass. Now, why are you confusing him?
Well, all I said was dinky die.
Yes, I know. But if you know anything about glass, which I am sure you don't, you know there's no such period as dinky die.
Well.
And, Bergen, let me tell you that collecting rare glass... is a hobby that few enjoy.
I get the insinuation, thank you.
It's a hobby that few are capable of enjoying.
Yes, yes.
And I'm afraid, frankly, that you're not one of the few.
Oh, is that so? Well, aren't you the one? Yes,
yes. I think
you've gone just about far enough with that, young man.
Let me tell you.
Don't kill the sailberg. All right, I won't. Don't worry, Charlie. Ray, I just happen to know a little more about this piece of glass than you do.
I doubt it.
And all I can say that is if Charlie will let you have this ancient piece at any price, you're lucky.
Ancient?
Yes.
Brilliant. You mean to tell me that it's hundreds of years old?
Hundreds of years? It's thousands.
No.
Dinky die, Bergen. Dinky die.
Several thousands of years.
Several thousands.
Dinky die. Oh, nuts to dinky die. Okay. Nuts to dinky die. Now we can work. That changes the picture.
All right. Charlie and I have traced this bottle back as far as the Ming Dynasty, haven't we, Charlie?
At least.
Yes.
Even before the soybean era.
Really?
With subgum.
All right.
Oh,
yes,
that's too much. Charlie, you've got to let me have that bottle.
Well,
I'll give you $300.
Oh, well, sold. No, not enough.
Not enough? No.
Wait a minute. Let me see it again.
Yeah. Well, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes.
Lovely thing.
Isn't it? Yes.
Latest thing in ancient.
It certainly is a most unusual design.
It has that.
Now, what kind of a shape would you call it?
Oh, it's a sort of a rectangular purple.
Yes.
Yes, it has a sort of rectangle look about it.
Yes,
all right, boys. Well, what's your price?
Well, you being a friend of mine, Noble, I'll let you have it for $500.
No, sir, Charlie.
No.
Not a penny less than $600.
$600?
Yes. Give me the bottle.
No, you let me have the bottle.
Let me have the bottle, Charlie.
No, I'll hold the bottle. There goes Stinky Dye.
I'm sorry, Charlie.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we had it coming to us, didn't we?
Yeah, I suppose so. Well, all I can say is I was practically a rich man before the crash.
What a difference a day makes. before little hours brought the sun and the flowers. Yesterday was blue, dear. Today I'm part of you, dear. My lonely nights are through, dear. Since you said you were mine, what a difference the day made. There's a rainbow before me. Skies above can't be stormy. Since that moment of bliss, that thrilling kiss, it's heaven when you find romance on your menu. What a difference a day made, and that difference is you. The day made, there's a rainbow before me. Skies above can't be stormy. Since that moment of bliss, that thrilling kiss, it's heaven when you find romance on your menu. What a the day made, and that difference is
you. You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Ray, are you busy? I'd like to ask you a question.
Yes, Edgar, what can I do for you?
I would like your honest opinion of this tutor that I hired for Charlie.
Oh, yes. Well, I tell you, Edgar, suppose you let me ask him a few questions.
Oh, good.
You see, I'll soon deduce whether or not he knows his stuff.
Uh-huh.
Call him over.
Yes, I'll do that.
Yes.
Professor.
Yes.
Professor, you remember Ray Noble.
Oh, yes.
This is Professor Irwin Corey, world's foremost authority.
Oh. How do you do, Professor? I'd like to know your impression of Hollywood. I mean, you being fresh from New York.
Well, New York and Hollywood are practically in two different places.
Definitely right, old boy. Definitely right.
Of course. You can say what you want about Hollywood.
And the people in the East usually do, I know.
Professor, how do you feel about the famous California climate?
Oh, I do love the great outdoors. But I'd like it more if we can get it in the house.
Oh, then, Professor, we can take it then that you're glad that you came west.
Of course. Of course. When Mr. McBurgan insisted, and insisted that I come out here, did you ask me?
Well, yes.
Well, when he asked me to come and join the other permanent guest, I was at first greatly tempted to. So here I am. Financially, of course.
But, Professor, tell me, it's a great deal more difficult to get around in New York, though, isn't it?
Not. Any taxi driver will tell you where to go. And they usually do. You see, in New York, you will find that each street runs exactly parallel to the ground. And goes directly. Then it stops. Thus allowing for closed ventilation. Unlike the streets out here, which go and go and keep going and going. But this is getting things too far. Especially. Now that I've cleaned up the speed. But traveling due east in Manhattan, That is west for those people who are stuck in the place. We may cross the bridge to Brooklyn. So many people made this mistake. So let us just roll up the avenue and observe the people as they walk up and down. You will notice that half of these people are women. The other half, you won't notice. But perhaps the greatest tribute that was ever... No, perhaps not. But still another poet was moved to write of this very theme. Those immemorable lines. Those lines that I shall never forget as long as I can remember. He wrote, later, the same poet moved to California, of course. And now he is doing work in the field of lettuce and broccoli and spinach. And so, goodbye to the gay Rialto. Farewell, Herald Square. Greetings from the land of sunshine and light. I like it here. I like it fine. But the nights are getting colder. Soon somebody, please send me that dear little three-room apartment of mine. I thank you. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, thank you, Professor. Well, Ray, what do you think? Will he be good for Charlie?
Well, I tell you, Edgar, I think, of course, naturally, like everybody. Yes. I mean, the point is so frightfully moot to the average person.
Yes. Well, that makes me feel a lot better. Joan Merrill, with the assistance of Ray Noble, give us the unusual treat of a sleigh ride in July.
surprise, but I brought you a present.
Oh, Charlie, a present for me all the way from New York?
No, I got it in Albuquerque.
Oh. Well, you know, Charlie, no matter what I think you, I can't help but like you.
Yeah,
well,
I feel the same way about you.
Well, thank you.
We have had a lot of fun together, haven't we?
Oh, I should say we have, Charlie.
Oh, dear.
Say, remember when I used to do that character Gazzola on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, my, that was funny.
Well, that's maybe just an opinion, eh? It was corny, but amusing, yeah. You think that was funny? How about the time I tried to sell you those tickets, though?
Yeah.
That was funny.
When was that?
Don't you remember? I was yelling there, hurry, 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 step right up, folks, and get your tickets here.
Hey, you, what the kind of tickets you got here, Got some sweepstakes tickets?
Well, hello, Mr. Gazzola.
Hello, Charlie.
Old pal Gazzola. Suck if ever was one. Would you like to see a circus?
A circus? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good. Tell me, you got any trained hippopotamonomuses here?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, we got a whole flock of rhino monstrosities, too.
Oh, yeah.
And a herd of elephants.
Oh, sure, a herd of elephants.
Yeah.
I've seen them, too.
Yeah.
Tell me, you got some tickets for sale?
Are you buying?
You sell them and I buy them.
You buy them, I sell them. No reason why we can't do business.
Tell me, how much is the ticket? Is it pretty expensive?
Just a dime.
Oh, well, that's all right. I'd take it away from the Bambino. I'd buy three tickets.
Three tickets?
Yes,
sir. Three tickets, yeah. Just happen to have three left. Last three.
Oh, well, I'm a pretty lucky guy, eh?
Oh, you certainly are, yeah. You couldn't use 100, could you?
No. I don't want you to be short, Charlie. Yeah. I only take three tickets here. Just $1.
Thanks, Gazzola, and here's your three tickets. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Charlie. Hey, wait a minute, Charlie. Where's my change?
Change?
Yes.
Oh, superstitious, huh? Well, our motto is the customer is always right, if he's bigger than you are.
Oh.
Well, here's your change, 20, 30, 40 cents. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Charlie. Charlie, yeah. Hold your horse ready, Charlie. You've given me the wrong change.
No, too much, huh? Yeah.
No. You're not giving me enough. No? I give you $1, you're only giving back 40 cents.
Oh, well, three tickets are only 30 cents. I guess I gave you a dime too much, didn't I?
No, Charlie, 30 cents from a dollar? But let's see, one of the range and one of the
scenes.
It's the sound of the room. Well, that's funny. You through yet?
No, yeah.
Comes out 70 cents the way I figure.
Yeah, that's the way you figure.
Yes.
Of course, you're entitled to your own opinion, but how do you figure?
Well, I figure in Italian.
Well, there you are. You forgot the rate of exchange.
Well, never mind. All I know is that the 70 cents is what's coming to me.
But what did I give you?
You've given me 40 cents.
All right, 40 cents. And the tickets are 30 cents. 30 and 40 make 70 cents. What are you kicking about?
Wait a minute. 30 and 40.
Yeah.
30 and 70 is 70. By Jimmy Craigers, you're right.
Yeah.
How we got this so mixed up, huh?
Yeah.
Wait a minute now. 30 and 40. 30. That's the 70. You're right.
Yeah, I am.
You're right.
I wonder if I did it myself.
Yes, you're right, but Charlie, look.
Huh?
Well, just one thing here. It says, and this is a ticket.
Yeah.
P-A-S and a head. Fast. That means it's a free ticket, isn't it?
Free ticket?
Yeah.
You paid for it, didn't you?
Yes, I paid for it, all right, yeah.
Well, then it's not a free ticket. Don't let anybody tell you it is.
Well, I guess that's right, too,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah. I'll be seeing
you. Hey, Charlie, right. Wait a minute, Charlie. One more thing here.
What's the matter?
This is a ticket that says admit one for July 4.
That's a good day for holidays.
July 4. Let's see. June, July, September, October.
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, it's too bad you missed it, Gazzola.
It was good, huh?
Oh, it was a great show.
Oh, it was really good, Charlie.
Sit down, I'll tell you about
it. All right, I want to listen. Go ahead.
They had a bearded lady, you know? And then there was a fat man. And then they had one of those...
June, and July, and September.
Clowns.
Charlie, I still think you're giving me the wrong change.
No.
It could happen to you, Joan Merrill and Ray Noble.
Hide your heart from sin. Rock your dreams at night. It could happen to you. Don't count stars or you might stumble. Amen.
then I on spring run. When church bells ring,
from December of 1944, there's the Charlie McCarthy Show with special guest star Don Ameche. In a moment, mystery and intrigue with Private Eye Boston Blackie as Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Boston Blackie was arguably one of the most memorable names of radio and early television as radio's answer to the B-movie. In fact, the character started in a B-film, Columbia's Meet Boston Blackie, in 1941. By 1944, Chester Morris, the screen Blackie, came to NBC with a Boston Blackie radio show sponsored by Rinso and announced by Harlow Wilcox as a summer replacement for Amos and Andy. Boston Blackie was a private detective with a flair for the smart comment. Billed as enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friends. Richard Lane played Faraday, and Leslie Woods played Blackie's girlfriend, Mary. Here now, from October of 1947, is Chester A. Morris in Boston Blackie with The Death Wish on this edition of Yesteryear.
Are you Jimmy Wells?
Yeah.
Well, it took me a long time, but I finally did it.
Did what?
Found you. I'm Boston Blackie.
So what?
So, for the first time in the last few D's, you're safe. Unless I have the wrong Jimmy Wells. Is your wife's name Dorothy?
Yeah.
You live at 2100 Leslie Boulevard? And you're a salesman?
That's right.
Then you're the Jimmy Wells I want.
I don't know what for.
For protection, Wells. Your protection.
What?
I got a tip from unhealthy sources that you're going to be killed.
And they're serious about it, huh?
They mean business, Wells. With a business end of a gun. But you don't have to worry now. I'll take care of you and them, too.
You will, huh?
Yes.
Get lost, Blackie.
You don't seem to understand. They're going to kill you.
You don't seem to understand. That's exactly what I want.
Look, Wells, I didn't spend 48 hours looking for you just to hear you say that you want to be killed.
Well, you heard me say it, Blackie.
I've heard other bad jokes, too.
Oh, this isn't a joke.
What is it? New brand of humor?
I'm dead serious, Blackie.
Dead serious, huh? Well, if you are, you're going to be dead, period.
That's exactly what I want to be.
I'd like to ask you why, but I'm not going to. I'm afraid of the answer. Look, let's stop this kidding before I begin to think that I'm crazy, too.
You are crazy if you think I'm going to let you protect me.
Well, if that's the way you feel about it, I'm crazy if I try. So long, Wells. It was weird knowing you.
Goodbye, Blackie. I'll be...
I know exactly what you'll be if I don't help you, Wells. Dead. But I don't think you really believe that.
Oh, yes, I do. I know it's going to kill me, too.
Who?
You don't think I'm stupid enough to tell you, do you? You'd stop them.
That does it, Wells.
It does what?
That convinces me you're really serious about wanting to be killed.
I was wondering how long it'd take you to realize that.
Well, I know it now. But what you don't know is you're going to get protection whether you like it or not.
Oh.
I'm afraid I had to knock you out so your killers, when they come calling, wouldn't find you in.
Come in.
Hello, Faraday.
Go.
Oh, hello, Sergeant Wilson. Where's the inspector?
Home, Blackie. At least I think he is.
Let me go.
Oh, come on in, you.
Who's your groggy-looking friend?
Well, look, will you let me
go? His name is Jimmy Wells, and I want you to keep him under lock and key.
What's he done, Blackie?
Nothing, except he wants to make like a victim.
Huh? Let me out of here. I want them to kill me, you understand? Why don't you let me alone? You got no right to hold me here.
Well, now, what do you know about that?
I don't know anything about it, Sergeant, except he's been marked for execution by the underworld, and he's as happy about it as if he were in his right mind.
He's really been put on the spot, eh?
For a rub-out, Sergeant. You better give him a nice, safe cell until I can get in touch with Faraday and find out what to do next.
Well, I don't know, Blackie. Maybe I
can... Hold him in the next room. I'll answer that. Maybe Faraday.
Okay, come on, Wells.
You can't hold me.
Come on and shut up with yourself.
Goodbye, Sergeant. Hello.
Hello?
Oh, hello, Faraday, old pal. This is Blackie.
Now, this is all I need. Goodbye.
Oh, don't say goodbye, Faraday. You can take more of me than this. What's the matter?
Hmm?
Why aren't you at your office today?
Now, why are you in my office? None of your business why I'm not there. Where's Wilson?
He's in the next room. Look, I picked up a guy named Jimmy Wells who's trying to get himself knocked off by an underworld mob.
How do you know?
I got a tip through my usual, unusual sources. This guy Wells doesn't want help, but we'd better give him protection before they give him the works.
Yeah, what do you want me to do about it?
Just want you to know that I want him locked up.
No, you can't put that guy behind bars unless he asks for it. But hold him for a few minutes. I'll see what can be done.
Okay. I was afraid when you weren't here that you might be sick.
I am sick. Of you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Hey, Wilson, come on in here.
Blackie, I...
Hi, I just talked to... Hey, Wilson, where'd you get that swollen eye?
That guy Wells gave it to me, Blackie. I got a black eye and he got away.
Yes?
Are you Dorothy Wells?
Yes, I am.
I'm Walter Branch. May I come in?
Why, I...
Let's make up a mind for her, huh, Mr. Branch?
I'm sure we're welcome, Tommy. We'll take up only a few minutes of your time, Mrs. Wells. Close the door, Tommy.
Sure, Mr. Branch.
Is your husband at home, Mrs. Wells?
No, he's not.
Do you know where he is?
No, I don't.
You're sure he isn't in hiding somewhere in this house?
No. I don't know where he is. And even if I did, I wouldn't tell you. I know why you want to see him. You want to kill him.
Oh, now, how can you say a thing like that, Mrs. Wells?
Because you do want to kill him. That's what you're looking for him. You and this gunman of yours.
I go everywhere Mr. Branch goes, Mrs. Wells.
And all Tommy and I want to do is talk to your husband. Are you sure we don't know where we can get in touch with him?
I hope you never find him. Because I know what you'll do to him.
Do us an injustice, Mrs. Wells. All we want to do is talk business with your husband. But since he isn't here...
He isn't here. Now, will you leave, both of you?
I guess the lady doesn't want us here, Mr. Branch.
Obviously not, Tommy. Mrs. Wells, when you see your husband, tell him we're sorry he wasn't at home when we came to call. For if he'd been here, it would have saved a lot of trouble for everyone concerned.
You keep an eye on that side of the street, Mary, and I'll do my best to watch this side.
Well, don't you think you better watch where you're driving, Blackie? This isn't a country road.
I'm watching. But if we do run into somebody, I hope it's Wells.
We've been looking for him for 3 hours. Suppose this is the neighborhood where he hangs out. This can go on forever.
It's only going to seem that long. Well, maybe we'd better give up.
And sign Mr. Wells' death warrant? Oh, that doesn't sound like you.
Well, Wells has a wife who might give us some information. That sounds like a shortcut to finding him. Or better still, maybe she knows who's trying to kill him.
Well, that sounds like a much better way to keep Mr. Wells from being killed. Never mind finding him. Find his would-be killer.
That brilliant piece of strategy has just occurred to me, too, Mary.
Uh-oh. Just occurred to me I'm supposed to meet the superintendent of my building at my apartment. It's about redecorating.
Well, I'll drop you off at your building and then go to see Mrs. Wells.
Okay. Well, I hope she can tell you something.
You know what she might tell me, Mary?
What?
That her husband is already dead.
Blackie, I'm Dorothy Wells, Tim's wife. But I haven't seen him or heard from him since yesterday.
Well, I saw him, Mrs. Wells.
You did?
But maybe I've seen him the last time.
I know what you mean. He's going to be killed, isn't he?
That's what I hear, and from people who usually know what they're talking about. Tell me something, Mrs. Wells. Why does your husband want to die?
I don't know.
Does he carry a large insurance policy?
No, a very small one, as far as I know.
I see. Then if he dies, he doesn't make you a rich woman, huh?
No, only an unhappy one, Blackie. Jim and I have had a wonderful life together. Even during all the months he's been gambling.
Gambling and losing?
Yes, and heavily.
Losing and not paying?
He hasn't been able to. We're not poor, but we're not rich, and Jim has lost thousands.
I think you're telling me something that I want to know. Do you know whom he owes this money to?
Yes, a man named Walter Branch. He's been here looking for Jim. And, Blackie, I'd heard Jim talking on the phone to Mr. Branch a couple of nights ago and threatening to go to the police about something if he had to pay his debts.
Uh-huh.
I think it was about marked cards or crooked gambling of some kind. Something like that.
Mrs. Wells, Walter Branch is looking for your husband, and I'm going out on a limb because I'm going to look for Branch. Faraday, your ears aren't ringing. That's your phone.
I know it, Blackie. Yes?
Inspector?
Yes?
We checked the files on Walter Branch.
Huh?
We broke up his last gambling joint on Lawrence Place 6 months ago. There's a rumor he's opened up again in a house at 23 Maple Road.
Thanks, Wilson. Thanks a lot.
Yes.
Blackie, we have a tip. Branch is running a gambling joint at 23 Maple Road.
Your department's really clicking, huh? Well, let's go see him.
This isn't homicide, Blackie. It's out of my field.
And it's going to be homicide if Branch gets to Wells before we get to Branch. What would you rather do? Solve a murder or prevent one?
You know the answer to that. Come on, I'm ready.
Wait, I'm not. I think I'd better phone Mary and tell her that I might be a little late for our date tonight.
For the first time, huh? When was the last time you met Miss Wesley when you said you would?
I don't know. My memory doesn't go back that far.
Yeah, if you thought it'd make trouble for me, you'd be late to your own funeral.
Of course, Faraday. I'd be the late Boston Blackie.
Ha, ha. You know, the more time you waste on that phone, the more time Branch has to get to Wells. Unless this is all a gag of yours.
It's not a gag, Faraday. Except that Branch wants to gag Wells permanently. People who I marry doesn't answer.
And maybe she's like me. She doesn't like to talk to you.
No one like you, Faraday. You're the eighth wonder of the world.
No.
And speaking of wonders, I wonder where Mary is. She's certainly not at home.
Come in.
Oh, a message for you, Inspector Faraday.
Oh, thanks, Wilson.
Well, no use letting this phone ring anymore.
What is this, Wilson? Where'd you get it?
A man brought it to the desk a minute ago. Said some guy gave it to him and told him to deliver it to you.
Oh.
Yeah. Looks like a letter, Faraday. Getting fan mail?
Yeah, ever since I started the Down with Boston Blackie Club. Hey, look who signed this note, Jim Wells.
I can't read the note the way you're holding it.
What's it say, Inspector Faraday?
What's it say, Sergeant? Look, it says, Inspector Faraday, leave me alone. Don't try to protect me, because I have Mary Wesley in a hideout, and if the police or Boston Blackie come near me, she'll be killed.
What?
Then maybe I'll die in the electric chair, but at least I'll be able to die.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Now, back to Boston Blackie. Jim Wells has been put on the spot by gamblers who apparently have reason to kill him. Boston Blackie and the police offer to protect the doomed man, but he refuses help and escapes. While Blackie is searching for his would-be killers, Wells abducts Blackie's friend, Mary Wesley, and threatens to kill her and go to the chair for murder if any attempt is made to escort her. As we return to our story, Wells walks into a room where Mary is gagged and tied to a chair.
Well, Miss Wesley, if I take that gag off your mouth, will you promise me not to scream? All right. I'll see if you can be trusted. Yeah. At least that must be more comfortable, huh?
Yes, it is. Who are you?
Wells is my name. Jim Wells.
You're the man Blackie and I've been looking for.
But you didn't find me because I was waiting for you at your apartment.
But why? And why kidnap me and tie me up?
As protection, Miss Wesley. Protection against protection.
And you won't have much protection against anything when Blackie finds me.
Oh, I don't think he wants to find you, Miss Wesley, because if he does, he'll find you dead.
Dead?
Very. You see, I want to die, and I don't want Blackie or the police to interfere.
Oh, I'm not
crazy, Miss Wesley. You see, I have a reason for wanting to die. And I'll murder you to do it if I have to. Your only hope is that I don't have to. Are you comfortable?
Oh, very comfortable. These ropes aren't cutting into my wrist more than an inch or two.
If your friend Blackie shows up, something else will be cutting your throat.
Couldn't you think of some more unpleasant way to kill me?
I've already thought of it, Miss Wesley. Cutting your throat was merely an expression. Didn't you wonder what I'd been fixing up with the door there?
No, I've been too busy wondering about you.
Well, let me tell you what I've done. I've tied a rifle to the table there. And I ran a string from the trigger to the door.
Oh.
You begin to see, do you? The string is tied to the doorknob. And the door opens out. When the door is opened, the string will be pulled tight. And the gun will fire.
Fine. But you don't think I'm going to sit right here in this spot?
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Miss Wesley. Oh. The chair you're sitting in is fastened to the floor.
You think of everything, don't you? You're so clever, Mr. Wells. Well, if I hear voices outside...
I also forgot to tell you that I'm putting a gag back over your mouth. There. Good and tight. Goodbye, Miss Wesley. I'm going out the back way. And if I don't die at the hands of the killers pretty soon... You'll die at the hands of Boston Blackie when he opens that door.
You'd better step aside, Faraday. I want to get this visit to Branch over with so I can go find Mary. Branch and his men probably know a cop when they see one.
You think they don't know you too, Blackie?
Well, they might let me in if they think I'm alone. I hope that note you got threatening Mary was a gag. Believe me, I hope that. Uh-oh. Someone's coming. Duck to one side.
I'll stay on this side so I can give you a hand if we have to shove our way in.
Yeah?
I'd like to see Walter Branch.
Who are you?
Just a guy from out of town looking for some action.
You won't find it here.
The boys said I would.
What boys?
Just the boys. Let me in.
Just a minute. Come on in. But no funny stuff, because I got a gun on you.
No, no funny stuff. But I'm bringing a funny friend. Come on in, Faraday.
No, you don't.
Well, you bet. We're in, Faraday. And he's out.
Yeah, but what are we in for? This guy's not alone.
And he's not out anymore, either. He's coming, too.
He's taking us to Branch, huh?
If he doesn't, I'll use a little more persuasion. Get up, you went fast.
What's with you? What do you want?
We want to see Branch.
What for?
We'll tell that to him. Come on, take us in to see him.
Okay, this way.
And this better be the right way, too.
These guys are as meek as babies when you take their guns away from them, Blackie, huh?
This is the boss's office right here.
It better be.
Come in.
Couple of guys to see you, Mr. Branch.
To see me? Well, come in, gentlemen, come in.
Thanks.
Okay.
Guns? Meaning of gun.
We had to use pistols instead of passes, Branch. This is Inspector Faraday, and I'm Boston Blackie.
Hello, Inspector Faraday. Hello. Oh, sit down. Tommy, that'll be all.
Sure, Mr. Branch.
You may put your guns away, gentlemen. I'm not armed.
But your assistants are. We'll play safe.
As you wish. To what do I owe the doubtful honor of this visit?
You ought to know why we're here.
It's about Jim Wells.
Oh, well.
Now, don't say you've never heard of him.
No, I know the man well, very well.
Mm. So well, you want to kill him, don't you?
I have every reason in the world to want him dead, Inspector Faraday, but I don't believe in murder. The consequences to the killer are equally fatal. I have no intention whatsoever of having Wells eliminated, though, believe me, I'd be quite elated if he'd dropped dead.
Hello.
Is this Boston Blackie's apartment?
Yes, and this is Blackie.
Hello, Blackie. This is Jim Wells.
Wells, where's Mary?
Don't get excited, Blackie. She's all right. In fact, I phoned to tell you where she is so you can go get her.
Where is she?
She's waiting for you in the living room of a house on Cherry Street. Number 10 Cherry Street.
Number 10 Cherry Street, huh?
Yeah.
Why are you telling me this?
Well, she's a friend of yours. You probably was worried about her.
I sure am. And if anything's happened to her, Wells, you really better go out and get yourself killed.
Well, if the boys were right about it, Mr. Branch, Wells is in this house here. This is number 10 Cherry Street.
Let's go up and have a look, Tommy.
Sure.
I'll get out on your side.
Okay.
Your gun ready?
Always ready, Mr. Branch. Anyhow, Wells doesn't carry a rod.
Well, have yours handy just the same. We don't want to take any chances.
Okay. Hey, looks like there's a note tacked up on the front door.
It is a note.
I guess Wells knows he was spotted here and it's scrammed, huh?
The note isn't signed, Tommy, but look what it says.
Well, I'll be it. It says, "Don't open this door, Blackie, or you'll kill Mary Wesley." Now, how about that?
How about this?
Hey, Mr. Branch, aren't you going to leave the note there for Blackie?
Why should I?
Well, Mr. Branch, if Blackie comes here and opens this door, he'll kill
him. That's exactly what I want him to do, Tommy. And that's what he'll do. Exactly.
Wait a minute, who's there?
Me, Tommy, Jimmy Wells.
Okay, open.
Hello, Tommy.
Hi, Wells. Come on in.
Thanks. Well, everything all set?
What do you mean, all set, Wells? You mean about me killing you on orders from Mr. Branch?
Yeah. Oh, brother, what a setup. Everybody in town has an idea I want to die. You got instructions to kill me, and you're going to be paid to kill me.
Yeah.
What nobody knows is that it's somebody else's body you're going to show Branch while I fade out of town.
Sounds good to you, huh?
Only way I know how to beat that Branch guy. He'd get me no matter what protection I had or how long he had to wait or where I ran away to. Lucky I found out you was working for him and that you'd listen to reason. And, dough.
Sure. Lucky for you. Well, we better make this good, huh?
Yeah. Boston Blackie was on my trail, but I fixed a gimmick with the door and his girl, so he'll be hours trying to get her out without killing her. That'll keep him away until we're finished.
I guess it will. You, ready to go, Wells?
Yeah, sure. Tommy, that gun. Put it down. You and I are pals. You were going to be paid not to kill me. I was supposed to give you...
You said you was ready to go, didn't you?
Oh.
Hi, Mr. Branch. Well, there he is.
Yeah, so I see. I'm delighted you came to me with Will's story about wanting to bribe you, Tommy. I'm delighted that Boston Blackie is about to open a door that will kill his girlfriend. And I'm delighted with your loyalty.
Here's 10 Cherry Street, Faraday. Unless Wells was lying, Mary's in there. Come on.
Okay. Hey, take it easy, Blackie. If Wells is on the level, he may be in that house waiting to take a shot at us.
I don't think he's anywhere around, Faraday, because we have something to grab him on now. Let's try the front door.
I have a hunch Miss Wesley isn't even here. This is just a gag of Wells to keep us away from him so he can get himself killed.
You might be right, Inspector. But if Mary is here, he's accomplished the same purpose. We're going to go in there and search the house for her right
now. I
know
what happens now. I have to turn my back while you genius your way through a locked door.
How'd you guess? Turn around.
How do you do it, Blake?
Well, with locks like this, I first find the kind of a key that might open the lock.
And then?
And then what I do is so tricky I can't understand it myself.
Well, fine.
But I can't unlock this door, Faraday.
Why not? If you're such a genius.
Because a guy doesn't have to be a genius to unlock a door that isn't locked.
Very funny. Come on, let's go in.
Wait a minute, Faraday. If Mary's just behind this door and it isn't locked, it's because somebody wants us to open it.
Well, for just once, let's do what somebody wants.
Oh, no, Faraday. Something tells me we'd better not. Let's work on this window here. Get in that way. The shade's down, so we can't see inside, but I've got a little piece of steel that'll get us inside. Stand back while I do a little prying.
Well, that's you. Always prying. Blackie, look. Mary's tied to that chair.
Faraday, that isn't all that's tied. Look at that gun and the string running to the front door. Come on in this window with me. Hold everything, Mary. The Marines have arrived.
I'll take care of the string.
Sit still, Mary. I'll get this gag off your mouth. There we are.
Oh, Blackie. Yeah. Glad you didn't open the front door.
So am I, Mary. Now all I've got to do is close this case.
Who is it?
Boston Blackie. Let me in, Tommy.
Oh, sure. Blackie, just a minute. Come on in.
Thanks. You seem almost glad to see me.
Why not? I got nothing against you, neither is the boss. You want to see him?
Not just now, Tommy. I think you're the man that I want to see.
What for?
The police just found Jim Wells' body, and he didn't drop dead.
Not too bad.
Who killed him, Tommy?
I don't know why you ask me.
But I did ask you, and I expect an answer.
I expect you to.
Answer me, or you'll get something you don't expect.
Such as what?
Such as this. Want some more?
Oh, but you do.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, I knocked you out, Tommy. Again. Now, maybe, when you wake up, you'll feel like telling me who knocked Wells off.
Yeah, Inspector Faraday. I killed Wells. I had to when Mr. Branch walked in a room.
What do you mean, you had to, Tommy?
I think he means he was hired to do the job, and Branch is the one who hired him. It's a good thing we grabbed Branch, too.
That's right, Blackie. But Wells made a deal with me. He gave me a lot of dough, and we were going to fix it so it looked like he got knocked off.
Well, that explains why Wells was so unconcerned about being killed and why he didn't want protection. He was going to disappear with everybody thinking he was dead.
Yeah, but it doesn't explain why he put Miss Wesley in a spot where she might have been killed.
I can set you straight on that, Inspector Faraday. Wells left a note on the door warning Blackie not to open it. But Mr. Branch took the note and tore it up. He wanted Blackie to open that door and kill Mary Wesley.
He did he? Well, after the way you talk, Faraday is about to open a door for him. A little green door. In the death house at State Prison.
From January of 1947, it's been Boston Blackie with The Death Wish. And that brings to a close another edition of Yesteryear. I trust you've enjoyed today's program and will make a special effort to invite a friend to tune in and together enjoy the best of the golden age of radio right here on Yesteryear. Till next time, I'm Craig Roberts. So long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you so. Dio, volio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you. Thank you.
to listener-supported Swing Street Radio, KSSR-DB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.